catch the ball, whatever they're doing. God wants to see us win. And he thinks of everything. And when she was saying about how the Lord would give you, you know, he'll do things to give you little roadblocks, I mean, not signs along the way that you're on track. When I do his work, I depend on him for accuracy. So I can be say the right thing at the right time and not fail. I don't want the time to come where I should act and then I freeze. Or the time to come for me to say something and I don't. Or God give me a word and I feel too uncomfortable to share it and I freeze. Which I have done that before. So I started saying that I will do all that's in his heart. So once he give me any assignment, no matter how small or large it may seem, I make it happen.
He told me once, that, I mean, these were in my stupid days, stuck on stupid. He says, Deborah, I can't drive a parked car. And I've noticed in my life since then, if I start moving, you know that old rap song, if I move, you move. And after that, you know, he tell me to do something. If I start doing it, it's like all the provisions come. But as long as I'm sitting on my butt, like he said, I can't drive a parked car. You got to get up and start
doing something. I used to want God to do things.
Yeah.
But he will not do it till you act.
You can't drive a parked car. That's
right. We have a tool man years ago. He used to come. His business got so good, he bought three tool trucks. Wow. So we didn't see him. So he worked a route, and then he paid somebody to work his vestment route, which was a Christian. Well, his son, this was right after Robin got healed of his inoperable brain tumor. The guy who he had working for him came in, said, how's Terry? He told me about the son. He said that he just found out the son has a brain tumor. And I said, man. And I didn't know, you know, I said, I just wanted, from the time he said it, I wanted to do something. Because I'm going to church and I see people getting healed of brain tumors and I know how I feel that my son had a brain tumor. So I wanted to do something and I didn't care about what I had to do. You know, I didn't care if I had to go over his house and lay hands on him or whatever. I wanted to do whatever God wanted. Well, Pastor had a word. Somebody's got a brain tumor. And I walked up. I was going to let him lay hands on me. And then I was going to go lay hands on Terry's son. So he had me to explain what was going on. I said, I want you to lay hands on me, and then I'm going to go lay hands on the tool man's son so he can be healed. And Pastor, let me give you a prayer cloth. So he gave me a prayer cloth. Tuesday came around. The guy he had worked for him, I gave. He was a Christian. I said, give him this prayer cloth, and he's going to get healed. He took it back to Terry. Terry gave it to his son. And next thing I know, he's back at Auburn without a brain tumor. And he's probably graduated by now. He was an athlete. His son used to lift weights and everything.
And that anointing was so strong, it passed all those hands, and it didn't lose it.
And I remember days of the Lord said, I want you to get a prayer cloth and take it to him. I would have been concerned about how people would receive it. But remember, if the Lord say do it, they'll receive it. It'll fit. And you're the perfect person for this assignment. Because God knows everybody. And when he chooses you, you're the best. You're the best for the assignment. And so I had to learn... you can't doubt yourself. You're Christ. You belong to Christ.
Yes.
You're an extension of Jesus. If we're the body of Christ, we're an extension of Jesus. So you're qualified by the blood and the Lamb. And you fit. Sometimes people will trust you over everybody they know because they saw you make the choices of Christ in the past. And the Lord know this. You may say, well, they probably think I'm good. Or they might not want to hear it from me. You know, but that's not, God knows. And so when you act, then he can finish the job.
And we're his bride. I mean, if I'm married to you. Your credit cards are mine.
Yeah.
Somebody's not going to turn down the credit card.
Uh-huh. That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So we're his bride. We got that same authority as a wife does, which is access to everything.
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Mm-hmm. And there's nobody any more faithful than the Lord Jesus Christ is.
Yeah.
Or trustworthy.
Uh-huh.
So we just got to believe it.
Paul said Jesus didn't think it was a robbery to do the things of God. So we can't do it either. We have to believe him. Jesus said, he that believe will do greater works than me. So we're supposed to do it. Whatever Jesus did, you can do it. Because he did it as a man.
Yes.
We've been made new. We can do whatever he did. And if I tried to walk on water, I'd fail. But if I saw other people doing it, I might catch on. This is why sometimes we need a visual. You have to believe in what you're doing, whether it's walking on water, whether it's being healed, getting somebody else healed, operating in the ministry. You have to believe in what God has given you to do. There are people out there with the anointing, but they don't believe in what they're doing. So they deactivate their anointing. But the anointing is still there. And it'll work in pockets of time. Sometimes the right things will happen, and it's something that they'll act on, and then the anointing works. And then they go back to normal. Well, they don't. Which it shouldn't be normal. With the anointing, as long as you're in faith about what you're doing, the anointing is working. And I look at the Deborah was saying about the signs that the Lord will do, the encouraging things that he'll do. When he give me an assignment, I don't just look at what he's saying. I look at what he's been saying. And everything always go together. It works together. And I say these things because before the Lord told me to do the website, he started preparing my faith for it. And because he was speaking in repetition. And the Lord don't speak in repetition unless he's charging your heart. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that if you get in doubt, he'll stop talking.
Oh, yeah.
He'll give you, he'll tell you once or twice. And if you still doubt, then he'll stop until you go back and get back in faith. But as long as you're in faith and he's talking in repetition, he's saying something towards something much greater. Mm-hmm.
You know, I get a long, and I write all of it down because he said, if it's worth me saying, it's worth you writing it down. So I have my journal with it, all of that stuff written down. But normally, it's something simple. Mm-hmm. Like 6 months ago, he said, pack. I said, okay, I'm moving to a new house. So I started packing. You going through it, you know? But then sometimes it's a data download. It's not words, it's just suddenly you know something.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When I say a data download, you don't hear words, but it's like revelation for just a bunch of it all at one time. And I call that a data download. But normally, it's just one or two things, like him saying, you spend more time with me, I'll keep you out of trouble rather than getting you out of trouble.
I like that. I'm going to use that on the radio.
But he will. He'll keep you out of trouble. He doesn't have to keep going, you know, getting you like, get in the brambles, he's got to pull that out of your wool, comb it.
That takes time.
It takes time, and you're losing time, so
it's better to be kept
out of trouble than gotten out of trouble.
Yeah. When I used to read the word, I used to see how people kept on going the wrong route. I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. I used to say, why are they doing that? Why would they do something like that?
Stuck on stupid.
And I'm gonna answer that question in a minute. But first, when he was preparing me for the website assignment, these are the things that happened. About 3 years before that, he would continually say, people are going to want to hear you. They're going to come to you. They're going to want to hear you. He kept saying that. I didn't know how it was going to work. I thought he was going to send more people to the classes or through the radio, or I thought it would be like it used to be. He would send me to different churches or something, or he would send pastors my way because he used to have me to minister to pastors. I didn't know what he was talking about. I was just believing him. I was mixing faith with every day. He would say, people are going to want to hear you teach. And I got used to hearing him say it.
But it's more than the website. It's this class.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. He thinks of everything. Then in 2017, in 2015, I started the website for the radio and everything. But he started saying this in those days. Then in 2017, he kept giving me revelation that he wouldn't release on the radio. If you listen to the website and the radio, the website is for much more mature people. It's a more mature audience. These are the revelations that he gave from 20 years ago, and I had to conceal it. He just would never let me teach it. And then he started. Everything just kind of ramped up to when he gave me the website assignment. Then everything came together. I saw what he was doing, and he gave me instructions. He gave me a lot. He explained what he was doing, and he gave me instructions, and I believed him. And if you look on the website, it's so many files compared to everything else. He told me to do as many as I possibly could. So I did. Before I started working, the first website broadcast, I would get up and do a website broadcast, and then I'd start working. And then I realized I could just do it on my way to work. I do them while you can hear my truck as I'm driving, I'm doing the recording. And I was able to do more that way because I wanted to obey him. And he told me many things about it. Then one day, Pastor was prophesying. He walked over and told me, he said, the Lord's going to give you another radio broadcast, but not the one you're doing now, but this one's very important. He prophesied it. Well, he called it a radio broadcast. I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready, whatever. If there's another radio station, I want to. But the Lord was always silent about the radio part. But he wasn't about the website. And after time, I realized he was talking about that website, because that's what God had been dealing with me about. Then one year, he said, one January, I think it was 2 years ago, he said that there was going to be three doors, and you could make a choice. And the Lord brought me a choice. And I said, which one to win more souls? And he told me which one to win more souls. I said, that's the one we go with. Then, the last one, he said, think big. He gave us, remember that word? He said, think big, so you can receive big. Because God wanted, so I said, whatever I was putting the cap on, I said, there are no limits. Whatever God do, that, and I started confessing, I would do all that's in his heart. Because sometimes you have to make the decision to receive more, to believe for more. You got to be adjustable to believe God for incredible things that you normally wouldn't believe him for. And Ray used to say God is extravagantly generous. And then you got to believe that God will use what you're doing for not just thousands but millions. Not just millions but billions. And without pride, you have to look at it like he does. You have to see when you study the Word of God, you get a God's eye view. Even things that the word will help you to ever increase. That's your heritage. You'll see it as your heritage, not your challenge. Mm-hmm. When every word that you receive and take in, that's where you're going to have faith. We only have faith for the Word of God, the heart of God's Word, the spirit of God's Word that we've received in our heart. You can have faith for it. So I looked at all that together, and it gave me a visual of what God was doing. And so everything he told me to do, I do it. And things he told me to conceal, I conceal it. Because he did it for whatever he do it for a reason. Mm-hmm. And everything works together. And he's always right there with you. And when I started learning about authority, I talked about how Mr. Austin gave me those tapes about authority. After a month, after about 30 days, I listened to those tapes every day. When one run out, I listened to what caught my attention, and I put another one in. Listen to it, and put another one in. Sometimes I listen to the same one three times, then I put another one in. And the next day, I did it again. I'm painting cars. I'm listening to the authority. It takes all day to paint, to get a car ready to paint. And so I had my radio on blast. People driving down the road could hear it. And across the street was a drug house. And I'm listening to authority. After about a month, they started having gunfights. And when nobody got killed, from the time that I listened to those tapes till I moved, nobody in that neighborhood got shot and killed. I don't know of anybody that got killed. Every gunfight I heard for 6 years, nobody got hurt. And they shot till they ran out of bullets.
Because you took authority over it, didn't you?
Yeah. Somebody was supposed to get hurt.
Yeah.
In those days when the gangs and drug dealers would fight, a little girl would always get shot by mistake.
Yeah.
So I said, nope. And I said, Satan, you can't kill anybody, nobody, and you can't hurt anybody. I don't even want anybody wounded from a bullet. And as far as I know, nobody's property got hurt. No bullets in the size of somebody's car. I didn't ask for that, but that it happened. And if you go to that old house, I took the windows out of that side that faced the drug house. And I put reinforced plywood there. I didn't want those windows anyway. And it helped me make a bigger closet. So anyway, all that happened, and you know what happens to your confidence in him? It elevates. Every time, at first I was nervous when they started shooting. I thought I was going to see people die from me. What was in my heart just came out. I said, Satan, you can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. And nobody got shot. After about 10 times, I was used to it. I said, you can't kill anybody and you can't hurt anybody in Jesus' name. You know, after a while, I'd be in my sleep. I'd hear the gunshots. And before I go to sleep, I'd tell Satan he couldn't hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. I'd wake up out of a dead sleep. You can't kill anybody in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I look at it as when you go to heaven, those people that had the opportunity, instead of getting shot, to proclaim his word to you and say, thank you for those prayers.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, really, there could have been a Billy Graham in that group.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That you prevented being shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of gun miracles. All of them were miracles. Somebody was supposed to get shot, but they didn't.
You just said it with authority.
That's right.
A policeman comes up to your car and you go, well, you know, if you got time, can you, give me your license? He's like, give me your license. He's looking at your, he's not looking, well, you know, if you don't mind now. No, it's like, give me your license. So we have to use that same authority that he has. Some of them only have it because of their badge. Others have it because that's who they are. So that's who we've got to be. We've got to use it knowing our authority. Because if you don't know it, you're going to get stomped.
Yeah. And that's what the devil hopes that nobody knows. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us to let them know, hey, you got just as much authority to tell that as I do. You know, okay?
Yeah.
Let's get into agreement right now. Let me explain it, you know? Huge, yeah.
You know, all you're going to see of him is the bottom of his feet. He's going to be running. Terrified. So we just got to know what that authority is, you know? Because if you try to break in my house, Pastor said all women should have a shotgun. He said the sound of that thing cocking is enough.
That's it.
And he goes, shaking. You'll put a hole in the door this big. I said, no, Pastor, I'm going to put a hole in the sucker trying to get in there. So my thing is, you got to know.
When you pay attention to the Lord receiving what he say, you're that's time management. You're staying on course. If you stop, you're prolonging the process, but there's a way to rush it. The only way you can really rush it is to just receive everything as he's given it to you and stand on the word of God, overcome every obstacle. When sometimes people don't, they're capable of doing great works, but it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. If the Lord told them how big it would be, they'll say, I can't do that. That's too much for their mind. But the word will help you make the adjustments. And people don't make the adjustments, so they don't go as far as they can go in him. And then, what are you looking at? A problem, you know, that's a small problem. Until you look at it like that.
And
it's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't, if you put
these glasses on, you'll see a lot bigger.
It's not that. It's that you can't see anything mm-hmm. but that.
That's true.
If you put this in front of your people,
mm-hmm.
it blocks out almost everything in, you know, a lot of things in the room. The closer you get it to your eye, what do people see? How do they see things? How they people are groomed to see things. Jeremiah said, I can't do that. I'm just a child. He was groomed that way. The enemy used the other people's lack of knowledge to groom him that way. The enemy started the attack. He was called from the womb, so the enemy got busy grooming people to mm-hmm. cause him to feel like he's too weak, a child. And the Lord said, don't say you're a child. And he put him over all the nations. He said, you're gonna build up kingdoms and throw down kingdoms. And he did it through Jeremiah's faith.
But if you think about it, an elephant will not, you know, they knock over huts in Africa. They mm-hmm. go into people's fields, they trample them. So elephants are a problem. But a mouse can scare an elephant to death.
Yeah.
Just be a mouse. You've got to be, if there's an elephant, be a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
When you look at him, you see this problem. It's just a crayon. It's not a problem. So the word of God helps us focus on him. And all the challenges, the way we see our challenges, the word of God exposed those challenges for how small they really are. And when you look at the Lord, he's working through your life. He will prepare you so you can believe so that your anointing can work. See, your anointing has a protocol. Your faith activates it, or somebody else's faith can activate it. But you gotta keep it in activated mode by your faith. You gotta believe all the things God say. Even the miracle things that would seem too big, you gotta believe that too.
Like the phones that can charge other phones now?
Yeah.
That's neat. I mean, just think about it. You just put it on and charges for
other. I don't know how they do that. I'm a mechanic and I still don't understand.
I don't understand it. But you were charging us.
To be honest with you, I don't even understand how batteries work. They just work, and I know when they
did. We don't have to. All we got to do is believe that they work and put them in the phone.
But God can use us in greater ways. You have to believe in what you're doing. You have to believe him. You have to know that it'll work. You have to, and not doubt. You can't doubt. So if you can do that, you can do anything. And the Lord help us get to that point. We are made in his likeness, in his image, and we're not subject to the rudiments of this world, the measurements of this world, the confines of this world. And a person speaking under the anointing, I did a broadcast last week, I got a close. It was called Revelation versus Teaching. Now, when John said, you don't need a man to teach you, the anointing will teach you. It was a flyer that a church had. You know, some churches have the little pamphlets they give everybody.
Bulletin,
yeah. And they used that scripture, but they cut off the part where it said you don't need a man to teach you. And at first, when I first read it, I thought, well, the anointing teacher. I know my anointing, but I know God provided teachers and pastors and prophets, evangelists, and apostles. But that's not what he was saying. He didn't say you didn't need them. You just didn't need a man to do it.
Man of sin.
Yeah. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers
right.
are anointed. And then Paul said the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now you can also say the apostles are subject to the teacher. And the teacher is subject to the pastor. The anointing teaches. Any child of God can speak under, you know, the word of God is anointed. If God anointed them, they can teach. It's not a one-man show. Some of the elements you need to get to do the things you're doing is going to come from a varied array of people, young, old, different race, different gender, and that's just the way it is. But if you got your ears on, you hear God's voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. A stranger, they won't follow. A well-known evangelist can say something wrong. You say, well, that's not God. Somebody that's unknown can say something. You say, wait, that's God. You can tell. And some people that gave me the elements for me to do the things that I'm doing now came from, they were buried. Young, old, rich, poor. But I kept receiving what God was saying, and it enabled you to do the things that's necessary. I have a ministry I can't see. I have to believe for it. I just believe that it works. Every time I act on what he's doing, God is doing something. Just like when he healed Terry's son. You act, he'll do it. I guess we're out of time. Mary would be doing like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's like if some stranger calls me up and says, hey, this is Pastor McCann, Deborah, can you send me $1,000? I'm going, I know you're Pastor McCann. What? No, I'm not going to send you. You know what I'm saying? We know his voice, mm-hmm. and no matter where he's coming from, when it's the word, we know or we'll reject it.
Yeah.
Still have beliefs that they need to tweak that are not.
Yeah. I'll close with this one. Yes. In his presence, you see things as they truly are.
Yes.
Remember, there are tares out there among the wheat. Mm-hmm. When you're in his presence, nothing will sneak up on you. You'll see things as they really are.
Sure.
Good and bad. And you have to make the adjustment after you have that knowledge. And it's to protect us. Some people are sent to slow you down, hinder you, aggravate your purpose. And some people are sent to be a blessing, and they can look no different. The one that's sent to be a blessing, they may not even seem friendly, but they're just what you need. All right, we'll close with that. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're doing and how you bless us and guide us. I thank you for every soul you help us reach and win. And Lord, we pray for all the broadcasts that you're using, and the TV broadcast, and the radio broadcast, and the website broadcast, the Sunday school broadcast. Bless millions and millions and millions of people with it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Come back.
Really, I'd say something the Lord's taught you about.
My testimony. Okay, I'll start calling it testimony, not data download.
But I heard Lord Jim say download too. And,
yeah,
you know,
it is. I can't explain. It's like poof.
Yeah,
all this information comes. It's not like
a sentence like we would speak to another person. It's just a whole.
And you just weep over it. I mean,
download.
You just like